It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I can't even remember the first words that are supposed to be said. What's up, nerds and nerdettes? It's Sean and Josh, and you're on the Nerd Talks official podcast, Geek Speak, where we watch movies, play games, and more. What more could you ask for?
For our last episode of the year, I asked Josh from memory to try and do the intro, and I say it went swimmingly.
Look, it's not that I don't pay attention. I do. My memory is the worst.
Welcome to episode. Well, I can't even say it now. Welcome to episode 11, the official Nerd Talk podcast, Geek Speak. I'm your host, Sean, and joined as always is my co-host, Josh. It's not a skirt, it's a kilt. Sicko, Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for? You were pretty close, part of it. I do love you start with, sup, nerds and nerdettes.
I think that works fine.
I think it's great. Happy Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa time.
Yes, the best way to describe this season.
Tomorrow's Christmas Eve, Josh. It's Christmas Eve Eve, as Phoebe Buffay said from Friends.
I've yet to watch Friends, but I understand what those words mean.
So I was literally just buying your gift as we started the podcast. So that's fun.
Crazy.
And you will explain what it is next year.
Oh, crazy. This That's a last, long ways away.
Yeah, it's our last episode. Well, not really. Like, what, 5 days left pretty much of the year? 6 days left? That's weird. That's been a very weird year. But this is our last episode of the year.
Wow. I'm on Box Office Mojo. No Way Home's made $750 million worldwide.
Yeah, it's on the track to billion right now this weekend.
Yay!
That's wild to me. But we're not here to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home. We're here to talk about other things.
So dang it.
We did skip Smart House decom wise, and oh no.
Smart House was the peak of decoms back in the day from my faint memory of my childhood.
So if you are not aware of the podcast, if this is your first time ever listening to the podcast, what am I saying? If this is your first time ever...
I say we release this completely unedited.
I'm considering it. Anyway... If this is your first time ever listening to us, we talk about movies and video games and comic books and superheroes and nerd and geek culture as a whole. That's the idea of the podcast. And this is our final of the year. Usually in each episode or around each episode, we released either separate audio or part of the podcast itself, talking about a different Disney Channel original movie from the beginning of time, as we've established in the 90s, until now. And we're going through them mostly in order. That order's been changed slightly now because we did Halloween Town 2 for Halloween, which was already a month late. And
It's fine.
And then accidentally skipped Smart House and went to Johnny Tsunami. So then the first one of next year will be Johnny Tsunami.
Which you is mean Smart House?
Yeah. Yes, but you get what I'm saying. And that's how it works. And it's a way to analyze how Disney's media catered towards solely children and how it changed over a large sample size with a small period of time. But no DCOM today. Because I want to focus on our big jolly bracket, which we'll get into very shortly. And that's what I called it to Josh last night, and I think the name stuck.
It's a perfect name.
And Josh doesn't know what's on it yet. I haven't told him about it at all yet.
I just know I gotta say what Christmas movies are better than what. That's all I know.
That's pretty much it. But I include soft movies, hard movies.
Okay.
I will elaborate soon, Josh.
Okay.
It's not just jolly. It's a big jolly bracket. It's a big bracket. We'll get to it soon. Anyway, because of that, no news, no DCOM, just the fun holiday cheer of debating.
Of course. Cool.
And I would put things like the Hanukkah movies, but I don't know what a Hanukkah movie is.
Huh, let me Google if there's a Hanukkah movie.
There has to be Hanukkah movies.
Hanukkah movies.
Here's the thing I don't like.
List. I just Google Hanukkah movies. It brings up what to watch. So you have the Seth Rogen movie The Night Before. Not really a Hanukkah movie. Call Me By Your Name. Definitely not. The only one, as far as I'm aware, that fits this is the animated Adam Sandler movie, Eight Crazy Nights.
Well, I will say that Call Me By Your Name, it cannot be a Hanukkah movie because Italians aren't Jewish. Just saying right now. Impossible.
We need to print on a shirt. Italians aren't Jewish.
So your Zoom cut out when you're laughing? So it just had like dead silence and you're judging me? It does it again because there's a Zoom threshold of audio.
That's wonderful.
So I just heard Italians aren't Jewish. Deadpan. Then I heard you wheezing. And then it was put it on a shirt.
Perfect.
But yes, there are not enough Hanukkah or like Kwanzaa, or like there's not enough other holiday cultural movies. So we're not trying to be anti-Semitic by picking Christmas films. All right, Josh, how you doing?
I've been very tired. I still work at a movie theater, and it's been crazy this past couple of weeks. 2 days ago, I twisted my ankle during work, so that was fun. Everything's all good now, but that was not a fun night. But other than that, it's been neat.
So as a friend of the podcast, Hunter Ferris, said on TikTok recently, which you don't know who Hunter Ferris is and why I said friend of the podcast, he was our last guest on the podcast and our only guest so far on the podcast.
I like you said last guest and you're like, wait a second, we haven't had another guest.
We have another one that lined up soon after the holidays who's really, really cool. And I cannot say who it is yet because it's locked in but not like planned yet. And Josh knows who it is now, and it's a pretty cool person.
It is.
So there are four types of Christmas movies, as explained by our friend Hunter. Do you know what magic systems, how there's hard and soft magic?
No.
Okay, well, it's hard and soft is due to term with magic systems. Of having hard magic systems means it's like Avatar is more hard than soft because they explain how the magic systems work very thoroughly, and there's nothing that can happen in the world that doesn't really ever have some logical explanation.
Okay.
How the bending works. The framework of the world makes complete sense in a rigid structure of how bending should function, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's soft magic systems where, like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. Harry Potter has some hard magic systems, but it's mostly soft, where anything can kind of happen if we write it in here now. And that's kind of how it works. There's a lot more of a vague idea of magic, and Lord of the Rings is definitely more soft magic based more on themes than actual systems, and it works really well. And obviously, some people do it better than others. But anyway, so there's hard and soft Christmas movies. Meaning a hard Christmas movie is a movie that has to be set on Christmas. Like it is it's needed.
So something like A Christmas Carol would be a hard Christmas movie.
Yes, because that is very much in the Christmas. You cannot, if you pull out Christmas, it no longer works as a film.
Gotcha.
Like you could, whereas a soft Christmas movie is, it is enhanced by set at Christmas. Like Home Alone is a soft Christmas movie because it's set at Christmas. And the themes of Christmas time and the aesthetic and the story elements help make it Christmas, help make the story better. And if you tweak a few things, you can still have that story without Christmas. That's the idea. Hard and soft doesn't necessarily mean good or bad or anyway. Hard and soft Christmas movies still mean they need to be set at Christmas.
Yeah.
And I also included accidental Christmas movies, which are things like Into the Spider-Verse is an accidental Christmas movie where it happens to be a Christmas time. That's literally where it has nothing to do with plot at all. But it's there. And lastly, there's the mythic ones where it dives into the lore of things like Santa Claus or that are the magic of Christmas.
Gotcha.
And all those are on this list.
Curious to see how many of these you've seen.
This list here is movies that we've both seen.
Oh.
I went through your letterbox, filtered to movies that I've watched, and I've gone through every single one, and if it had to do with Christmas at all, it went on the list.
Gotcha.
And at the end, we'll talk about some honorable mentions of things that you've seen or things that I've seen that we haven't seen together. Like we both not seen like individually.
Gotcha.
So things like you've seen Die Hard, I've not, or I've seen Miracle on 34th Street and you've not.
So ranking these, are we just ranking them off of like which is the better movie or which is better at being a Christmas movie?
Yes. So I'm going to go with the our first tournament, our first bracket here is Shrek in the Halls.
Wonderful.
Versus the Rankin and Bass Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And which better embodies to you? What, first off, what is a better? What's just better in general to you? What do you enjoy more? And on our first round, everyone, we can use a trump card on each of us. So if you have one you really want to pass through, but everyone disagrees, say no debate is going through for the first round. So
this is an interesting.
I think as a cultural movie, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer matters more. So I think it gets points above that over Shrek the Halls. Most people do not know that movie exists, that short film.
I'd say Shrek the Hall is the better made one, though. But but Rudolph does have a leg up on the cultural significance.
Everyone watches. Like it's a very much of a yearly tradition for many people.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I think that should go four above Shrek the Halls. I think Shrek the Halls might be more fun.
Yeah, I would. If I had to choose between watching both of them outside of this, I'd choose Shrek. But I think for this, I think I gotta go with Rudolph.
You think it's a better? Which one do you think is better, like, constructed? Also, the stop motion is really impressive.
Because
the format of that is a lot harder to do.
I probably go with Rudolph. I think story wise, like I think it's like 45 minutes or so. Like it's a pretty good length. It gets a lot of good story across. Shrek is only about 20 minutes and. Yeah, it just kind of ends, but it's still fun. But yeah, I think I got to go with Rudolph.
That moves forward. I'll remember. Okay. Next up, Josh, this is going to be an easy one. Santa Paws, which we've both seen.
I have seen that.
And A Christmas Story. So if you've not seen either of these,
it's surprisingly dark.
I don't know. So we have on here both the Santa Buddies one and Santa Paws. I don't know which one's which. I've seen them both.
What is the title of this one?
Santa Paws.
Okay, that is the origin of the character Santa Paws. The Santa Buddies are not in it.
Ah. Is it good? What's the plot? I don't know the plot.
Okay. it's been years since I've seen it. So Santa goes to New York City because some guy that ran a toy store that he was friends with, he had passed away, and he brings his dog who goes by Santa Paws.
Oh, okay, I remember this.
Yeah, but then Santa gets hit by a taxi, gets amnesia, doesn't remember who he is.
Wait, why are we focusing on that? A Christmas Story should win this one.
Yes, I'm aware. Christmas Story automatically wins this one. But, but I need to explain this movie. And then Santa Paws, he gets lost and gets found by these girls at this orphanage, which is kind of like Annie, but for some reason feels more bitter than Annie. And what else happens? Eventually, near the end, like Santa's dying because he doesn't have his crystal or that for whatever reason. And then Santa Paws gets his crystal taken and he turns back into a toy because he was a toy that was brought to life by this magic crystal. Then the Miss Hannigan of this story just takes the Santa Paws toy, throws him in like the furnace, and it's just like the slow demise of a movie. Just like it's so dark for no reason. Everything works out in the end. Even as a kid, I was just like, this is dark. Why is it this way?
And if you're not seeing A Christmas Story, you should.
It's good.
It's good. It's a bit dated and weird,
but like in a purposeful way, I feel like. And I also like, I love the way it feels, because like it was made in the 80s, but it feels like it was made like two or three decades before then.
Yeah, it feels like both an 80s movie and a 60s movie.
Yeah,
and it's fun. It's really weird. The whole tongue stuck to the pole thing is really dark. The
My favorite fun fact about this movie, Ralphie is in the MCU. He is in Iron Man 1 as the guy that Jeff Bridges yells at, that Tony Stark was able to build us in a cave with a bunch of scraps.
He's also
Far From Home. He does have hair, though, in real life, so he's just wearing a bald cap.
He's also referenced in Iron Man 3, saying to a little kid, Iron Man says, I loved you in A Christmas Story, by the way.
And he's also in another John Favreau movie, Elf. So that's fun. Which
was also on this list, Josh.
What?
So crazy. Next up, It's a Wonderful Life or Frosty's Winter Wonderland.
This bracket's so weird. Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life should go forward.
Yeah, easily. But last year was the first time I ever watched It's a Wonderful Life. I knew the base of the story, but I didn't realize that it's only like the last 20 to 30-ish minutes of the movie that's actually the Christmas part of the story. I thought that was most of it. So I found that to be really fascinating.
I mean,
the film still works.
Technically, it's all Christmas and it's a reflection on his life.
No. I know that. I completely understand that. But like my general thinking of how this movie went was because I've seen a lot of specials that do this kind of story and it's all set at Christmas time. Like they purposefully make that choice. But here, like Christmas, the actual time period of it is only at the beginning and at the end of the movie, which I found very interesting.
Because his Christmas ghost angel, his sad time of year, the Christmas stresses. And then all of a sudden, it's a really, really well-made film. And also,
it's so well-made.
It's good. Frosty the Winter of Wonderland is the second or third one.
Was that the one where his wife gets created?
Probably. We have multiple Frosties on here. We'll see.
Goody.
I think we have multiple Frosties. That might be the first one.
No, the first one's just called Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, that's probably the second one. Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life goes forward. Anyway, next up is an interesting one. I don't know which one I would think should go forward. The Santa Claus or Elf.
Ooh,
I love both of these films, genuinely.
I gotta go with Elf on this one.
See, the Santa Claus is just Tim Allen riffing and being like, the Santa Claus is a really, really weird movie. I love it, though. My biggest thing with the movie is in a world where Santa Claus does exist, why do parents not believe in Santa Claus?
Yeah, it's
never made sense to me. And many movies do that same idea.
Yeah, I really love the world that Jon Favreau created for Elf, combining like the Rankin-Bass specials, like Rudolph and all those into like this real world also. And Will Ferrell just being the best of it. Like it works really well. And I love this. I love the story of it overall. Just the small comedic things that you can notice on every rewatch. It works really, really well. I'm very happy that I actually didn't get a sequel. I got to go with Elf on this one.
Also, Jess from New Girl, but blonde with no glasses, is very weird.
It is weird.
And she's fantastic. I think Elf should go forward, but not because I necessarily think it's better, but I just think it might be a bit more fun.
Yeah, then spawn a weird sequel with Martin Short as Jack Frost, saying that he's going to get a mop.
No, hold on. That's also on this list, Josh. Yeah, I think the Santa Claus, I don't know, because better is so subjective and they're both just fun movies. It doesn't really matter which one's better, but for the purposes of this, I think that Elf has an edge up because it embodies the family-friendly funness of Christmas more.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're on to a bracket where things get more complicated.
Goody.
Next up, Josh, this is very funny to me. This one will come down probably to which one do you enjoy more. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Iron Man 3.
I guess I gotta go with Iron Man 3. I don't necessarily see it as a Christmas movie
but you
that
get
much
on the list, though.
No, I get why it's on the list, but I think in terms of enjoyment, it one that I would want to watch more. I gotta go with Iron Man 3.
Also, yeah, I agree with that one, and we're both biased. Also, this is mostly a superhero based podcast at this point, but Iron Man 3 still has a fun like Christmas aesthetic, so it still definitely counts for that part. I also love the it's a giant bunny, calm down about it. Yeah, I do like both things a lot. And Rudolph is more of a traditional thing, of course. But I also know people who watch Iron Man 3 every year now. Like, it's part of some people's traditions.
Is Shazam on this list?
Of course it is. We'll get to it soon. Good. I'm not gonna pick and choose it.
I just wanted to make sure.
We also have some weird that is among the weirder ones on this list, the superhero ones, but they definitely are kind of fun. Iron Man 3, I think, should pass as well, which is so weird to me that Iron Man 3 is beating Shrek, the Halls, and Rudolph at this point. Yeah. Oh, also, if people have never seen Iron Man 3, Josh, very, very lightly, what is that movie about?
Iron Man gets into this feud with Ben Kingsley. It don't end too well. He ain't got many suits to deal with. And there's this little kid. He's got a Dora watch to give him. And there's some Christmassy things that happen. Gwyneth Paltrow's there. Rhodey's there as well. That's all I'm going to say without spoiling things.
Also, Shane Black sets all of his movies at Christmas pretty much, I think. So that's why.
The only one that fully isn't is The Nice Guys. It doesn't get to Christmas until like the last like minute of the movie,
but it still has to have Christmas because it's Shane Black.
Yeah,
so that's fun. Next up is one that they feel like they should go together in brackets, so that makes sense. happiest season and The Night Before.
Ooh.
They feel very similar in like tonality for this and like structure.
This is a tough one because I love both of them.
I'm going to go with The Night Before. I like both, but I think Happy Season, it goes too far into the gaslighting and a bit too much into I really shouldn't forgive you at this point.
I want to go with The Night Before because I always love the Christmas aesthetic in New York City. And I think that film does it really well.
Also, that cast is very fun. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one just moves on forward. Sorry, Happy Season. You're good. And Kristen Stewart, you're great. And Firestorm in it. You're great. So Happiest Season is about a woman brings her girlfriend home for the holidays. Her girlfriend has been out for a long time. And this woman who's bringing her home is not out to her parents that she's bringing her home to. So they just think that they're roommates and they think that her girlfriend's an orphan. Well, she is technically speaking, but her girlfriend's at 19. And they just say, oh, are you the orphan? Many times in this movie. But basically, this family is very passionate about the nuclear family image, this perfection ideals, and the dad's running for mayor, so he cannot have any of his voters lose because of homophobia and stuff like that. But it's very much gotta hide our girlfriend back in the closet. And she does a lot of things that I don't think are very great to her in this movie. Also, Aubrey Plaza's in it, and she's also gay in this, and that's fun.
I just love the phrasing of that.
Aubrey Plaza is gay for Kristen Stewart, sort of. Go on, Josh. What is The Night Before about?
So The Night Before, it's about Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen, and Anthony Mackie. Ever since Joseph's parents died, they've spent every single Christmas together, just having fun, doing a lot of things. But now in the present, Seth Rogen, he's about to have a baby, and Anthony Mackie is a very
Seth Rogen's famous character, by the way. Not yes. Seth Rogen's about to have a baby.
I'm speaking in terms of the movie characters. Anthony Mackie, he's a big football star, so their time together is really coming to an end, and so this is going to be their last big Christmas together, and just all the highs and lows of having fun with one another, but also coming to terms with who they are and where their lives are going. It's a very fun movie.
So The Night Before moves forward because there's less gaslighting.
Correct.
And Christmas in New York is fun. I think everyone's great in both movies. Again, it's just about that. It's our random preferences for whatever arbitrary reasons we choose. Next up, Josh, is Let It Snow and Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas is fun. It's very cute.
I think I gotta go. Yeah, I gotta go with Once Upon a Christmas. I think Let It Snow, it's fun, and I like the cast, but it doesn't do a whole lot for me to really just stand out amongst the rest of these kinds of Love Actually type of Christmas movies.
Let It Snow has Shameik Moore? His last name? Yeah, mm-hmm. He played Miles Morales in Spider-Verse. It has Dora the Explorer herself, Isabel Merced. It's fun, but Mickey is just, I'm not a huge like Disney buff or fan or whatever, but I think it's cuter and Let It Snow is a bit more average. Yeah. Mickey, you're not average. Congrats. Josh, you ready for the next one?
Sure.
The Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause.
Oh boy.
Or the original Grinch, very, very short animated film. Martin Short going ham, and there's time travel.
I think because of how iconic Grinch is and just like the rewatchability of it, I gotta go with that. Because I've tried rewatching the Santa Claus 3. Nah, I'm good.
It's the worst one of the three.
Yeah.
It's the biggest nay of the three. There we go. But I don't know. I think it's just the random ideas of let's have all these amazing like mythical figures, and oh, well, this is Canada. it's such a nonsense movie, and the idea of having Jack Frost played by Martin Short with his wonderful frosted tips, that's really funny to me. And he comes in, and the whole idea of him time traveling back in time with Saint Nick boy, Kris Kringle boy, and making him become Santa Claus in his weird, very uncomfortable looking frosty attitude. It's just weird and fun. Not in a good way. But it has a weird charm to the plot. Like, it's not good, but it's kind of fun. But I guess because of the iconicness of the Grinch, I think a different Grinch will one up that other Grinch, though.
Probably.
We'll get that too, hopefully. So that's the OG Grinch then. Wins past that one, I guess. I will forfeit my escape clause. Next up, Josh, is A Christmas Story, Mixed Return against Gremlins, which I keep forgetting is Christmas time.
Ooh.
Because I keep forgetting it's Christmas time, I'm going to go with Christmas Story again.
Yeah, Gremlins, it's a lot of fun, but I got to go with Christmas Story on this one.
I think Gremlins is fine. I'm not super attached to it personally. I always thought, I seen it, I think, 2 years ago now. I watched 5 movies in one day. That was one of the movies I watched the first time. And I thought, this movie is interesting, but it also has some nonsense rules. I'm giving this one an A out of the two options solely because the dumb rules of don't feed it after midnight. What does that mean? Because after is so vague. When does it reset again?
Yeah, because isn't it always after midnight?
It's always after a midnight. Time is relative. So Gremlins, suck it. Christmas Story, you go for it, I think.
Yeah.
Next up is the original Frosty the Snowman, Josh. The one that we first talked about that wasn't the sequel. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yes.
Very cute film. Very cute. I like it a lot. Or Jim Carrey's Grinch.
Gotta go with my boy Jim Carrey on this one.
I literally put it in your nickname today. It's not a skirt. It's a kilt.
Sicko. It's not a skirt. It's a kilt. Sicko. That movie is so bizarre, but for all the right reasons.
It's among my favorite Christmas movies because it's so random, and Jim Carrey had to endure CIA-level torture training to sit through the makeup on and off every day.
God, but his performance is amazing.
He can still do the face even without makeup on.
Which is insane.
It's a good movie. And I know some people don't like it. They prefer the original animated one or the new animated one, which I do not prefer at all. And this one, it captures the same spirit of the book, but also actually adding things to it, in a positive way and not just dragging the story out. It feels like we could actually have a bit of a character study on why this guy is as grumpy as he is. I also think he was born just evil and hating Christmas.
This movie.
He came in. He also is, I think, very horny in this movie.
Yes, a lot of people are in this movie.
It's very weird. The gun that shoots Christmas lights onto the roof and stuff. It's a very fun movie. If you've not seen, and it's that one's a classic. Go watch it for Christmas. Have a good, also happy Christmas, people. Merry Hanukkah.
perfect way of phrasing it.
And here comes the Grinch again, Josh. The 2018 Grinch.
Oh. Goody.
Or the Charlie Brown Christmas. That one's obvious to me.
Charlie Brown
Christmas.
It's not only iconic. It still works so well to this day.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Even if you don't get behind the whole true meaning of Christmas idea and the Jesus thing, it's still really cute and really fun. And I also think the 2018 Grinch is painfully average.
It's so average. I paid money to see that in theaters, and I don't know why.
I don't normally insult a movie on this podcast. I also edit out most time that Josh does.
He just targeted me like I'm the only one.
You actually say bad at our movie more than often I do.
Yeah, that's true.
We try to keep things neutral or subjective and positive in general. It's the whole thing about spreading. We had a person on the top podcast called Wholesome Film Talk, Josh. It's kind of a vibe a lot of times. But this movie isn't bad. It's not good. It's just whatever.
It's there.
It's there. So a Charlie Brown Christmas by default wins anyway. Also, neither of us had to use a trump card in this first round, so we're about to lose those trump cards in a minute.
Oh boy.
It's a Wonderful Life or Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Look, I grew up with Home Alone 2. It's not as good as the first by any measure, but it's so much fun. But I gotta go with It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, it is the Christmas movie to most people. It's hard to argue with that. I don't know if it's going to win overall, but it should definitely beat out these first two rounds, I think, by just being what it is.
Yeah.
So It's a Wonderful Life goes through, I think, for me as well.
I'll still watch Home Alone 2 every year, but
Home Alone 2 also, Macaulay Culkin stops acting in it. So all of his lines are really like a serial killer.
If you're interested, back my freshman year in college, I made a Home Alone 2 horror trailer. So go check that out on my YouTube channel, Josh Rudolph.
Yeah. That's fun. But you like Home Alone, Josh.
Oh, and I love it.
So speaking of Home Alone, Home Alone.
What?
Or The Nightmare Before Christmas, which I treat more as a Halloween movie, but I had it on here because, of course, it has to be on here still. And Home Alone wins to me.
Oh, easily. Also, it's so funny that you put those two together, because in like the melody line of the theme song for both for Home Alone and This Is Halloween, they're very close together, but Home Alone came first. So did Danny Elfman steal a bit? Because they sound, if you listen to them side by side, they can sound very close to each other.
That also can just happen sometimes.
Oh yeah, it happens all the time, but still, I think it's fascinating.
This is a random seed generation. Not even, I didn't do the order of this.
So yeah, that's funny. But Home Alone is, it's so good. It works so well. Like,
this is Halloween, this is Halloween, 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 Halloween. What's the theme for Home Alone? Is it similar to that one?
It's somewhat similar. Yeah.
It is very similar. Home Alone 1, he's still a psychopath. He just has more acting in it. And if Nightmare Before Christmas was on a Halloween bracket instead, that one might be higher to me.
Yeah.
Because the aesthetic, it's Christmas, like, plot-wise, it's still, also it's cultural appropriation, that's what the movie's about. It's very much Halloween aesthetic, and more than this Christmas aesthetic. The aesthetic of these movies often helps support the Christmas feel.
If we're comparing the first two Home Alone movies, in the first film, him attacking them makes more sense because they're trying to break into his house. Second one, he directly lures them to a murder house.
Yeah, it's a lot more psychopathic.
Still
fun. Absolutely insane. Josh, you know Shazam.
I do.
Shazam is a movie, and we have a sequel come out soon, which we talked about Black Adam in the last podcast.
We did.
So Shazam 1 with Zachary Levi and Asher Angel. They're actors.
Correct.
And this movie is going up against The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I gotta go with... Santa Claus
is in that movie.
Yeah, but Shazam has the Christmas vibe throughout the whole thing. Narnia doesn't have it till like the last quarter of the movie, from my memory. I never got a true Christmas vibe from that movie, if I'm being honest.
True. I feel very wintry though.
It had a winter vibe for most of the movie.
But I will say that also Shazam, if you're not comparing Christmas stuff still, I still prefer watching Shazam.
Yes.
So that alone, okay, we're both fun and good, but I think Shazam wins. Prep and Landing.
Ooh.
Versus Fred Claus.
I gotta go Prep and Landing on this one.
I don't know about this one. I have Fred Claus on my shelf.
I love the inventiveness of Prep and Landing. Like the whole idea of these elves, like, go house to house to prepare for Santa to get there. Just it's only like 20 minutes and it's very compact, but it works really well. And it still holds up and it's still so funny.
I'm going to use my trump card on you, Josh. I think that this movie not only is more fun, but Paul Giamatti.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But Kevin Spacey.
I retract my statement.
Good.
Kevin Landing goes forward on account of Kevin Spacey.
I love the dead silence after I said Kevin Spacey.
what apology am I? It's Santa Claus. They have a fight with Santa Claus in a mall.
I'm not saying Fright Claus isn't a fun time, but Kevin Spacey.
You erased my Trump card with a higher power. Okay. So I guess Purple Landing goes forward. Okay. Next up, Santa Buddies. Or a Good Luck Charlie Christmas special.
Oh, Good Luck Charlie. For some reason, my mind thought that was Charlie Brown. Yeah, Good Luck Charlie.
Yeah. I would agree because they also have a really awesome like LARP paintball battle.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to join that. The only downside is if you get shot immediately, you just lay there for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
But
it's so
that,
it's so authentic.
That's a fun movie. Santa Buddies is boring. Fight me.
Yeah. It has Christopher Lloyd, but he does nothing.
It's our taste, people. Come on. Anyway. Please still hire us as directors. That's our field. Please don't cancel us for saying we don't like Santa Buddies. Next up, Josh. Elf versus the one where Tim Allen battles his robot self, the Santa Claus 2.
I think I've seen Santa Claus 2 all the way through like one time in my life, so I gotta go with Elf.
Okay. I will raise you the idea of Tim Allen trying to seduce a woman with magic, and it works.
And I'll raise you. That movie did not really interest me much as a kid to warrant any rewatches.
Okay, so I will say it's worth one rewatch.
I imagine it probably is. But for now, my answer's Elf.
You know what? F it. Why not? Elf goes forward. Hold on. The next one. No. Those are my favorites. I want both those to go forward. Okay. Anyway. The next one is the Rankin-Bass Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which was my favorite Rankin-Bass film because it was a Santa Claus superhero origin story. Ed versus Klaus. And Klaus wins to me.
Oh, Klaus very easily wins.
But Santa Claus is Coming to Town has a special place in my heart for me. Because it always felt like this is his origin story. We get his moment. And I like the idea of also just some skinny redhead with Santa Claus. It's pretty funny to me.
Yeah.
Some freaking ginger. It's a good movie, though. Ginger or not, it's still a good movie.
We apologize to all gingers out there. If you want to be Santa Claus, then be Santa Claus.
No. Stop it. Gingers can't have Christmas. Moving forward. A Muppet's Christmas Carol or Mickey's Christmas Carol. Wow.
Ooh.
That's really funny. I like Mickey's more. I think it's darker as well. Mickey's Christmas Carol I watched a lot as a kid. But also, I'm not a huge Muppets guy, you know that. But Mickey's Christmas Carol to me, I think was interesting. Because of the way that they use the characters, like everyone that they had was perfectly well made for it. And when I watched the Muppet one, I didn't feel that same vibe as much all the time.
I think I got to go with Mickey's on this one because that was my first introduction to the story of A Christmas Carol.
It was for me too, I think.
Despite it only being like between 20, 30 minutes, I don't remember how long it is. It still gets to tell the story in a very meaningful way.
We will not look at the time. That's extra effort. No.
I mean, I could.
No. Moving on, we have a really, really weird film, and then we have Chevy Chase. So we have,
what's
Polar
the weird
Express.
Film? Oh boy.
Or National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I raise you Chevy Chase as a problem as well in this one.
Correct.
Good actor, but Chevy Chase.
Correct.
And then we have Polar Express, which is why does he keep making these weird mocap films? And Tom Hanks is interesting.
I think, despite Chevy Chase, as a whole, that film is still incredibly funny. And
it's very mature.
The vibes of Christmas works really well for it. Yeah. Polar Express is fun, but as like an adult and like seeing everything happen, it just like, it doesn't carry the same kind of vibe as it did for me when I was a kid watching it.
Santa Claus is clearly real. We all know that. That's not the problem. But in the Polar Express world, per se, hypothetically, if Santa Claus was not real, just hypothetically, in our world, hypothetically, I know he is clearly, but hypothetically, if you get a bell and in real life, if you stop believing in Santa Claus and you ring and you hear it, it makes the whole movie's plot fall apart in your eyes.
Correct.
So the idea of using an actual real life object for that, for making the idea of belief, kind of hurts that plot. Because kids will do that and be like, oh, I believe, and you hear it ringing in front of don't believers, and they can hear it, and then it ruins that plot. Also, why is there a hobo on the train who's also a ghost man?
Because he's the Tom Hanks hobo man.
Is he Santa Claus?
There's so many theories about that movie, but also, I really don't care.
I think that's funny because I knew someone who looked exactly like the nerd kid in real life. And I want to show you a picture of him later. He talked the same way, too. It's very funny. So I guess Christmas Vacation moves forward because I don't care enough.
Well, also Christmas Vacation actually bothers to name the characters in the credits for the characters in Polar Express. The main kid, the boy, he's just called Hero Boy.
Is he actually?
Yes. And then the main girl, Hero Girl.
They're not heroes, though.
But they
derail
characters.
Everything. They literally cause the problems. Yeah, literally derail.
Also, why in that movie did Tom Hanks take the girl like on the top of the train to get her to the front of the train? Like, they build trains so you can go through the compartments and not have to, you know, climb on the top of the train.
Further questioning, why in the world did they want to kick a child off the train for not having a ticket?
That literally makes no sense.
No one should have tickets. It's a this train.
It's one thing for like a little kid to think that, like, and it's the nerd kid that thinks that, but like for the movie to actually really suggest that's what's gonna happen is kind of insane.
Oh yeah, what are these plots about, Josh?
Polar Express, Hero Boy, he don't believe in no Santa, or he doesn't know if he believes in Santa. The magical train shows up on the street, somehow not waking up the entire neighborhood. They go, it drives into
speed
the
run
North
faster.
Pole. He goes North Pole. Santa's there. Bells. He hears ringing. There's girl. There's nerdy boy. There's weird, creepy elves. It looks all terrifying, but it also has some fun.
Christmas
vibes.
Vacation. Go.
The Griswolds. They're having Christmas. Lights on houses. Things. Shenanigans. Randy Quaid's there. He's got a metal plate in his head. It's all crazy fun times.
And then Klaus. What's that about?
Postman goes to town where there's two families. They both hate each other. And they're fighting all the time. He meets the woodsman played by J.K. Simmons, who's also going to turn out to be Santa Claus. They start together this whole thing of him making letters so he can make money to get home, and then Klaus makes
also
toys.
Also, Jason Schwartzman from Scott Pilgrim.
Correct. J.K. Simmons, he makes toys for the children, brings the whole families together and everything. Peace comes from everything.
Next up, we are finally on round two of this whole bracket now.
Oh boy.
Iron Man 3 versus The Night Before.
I gotta go with The Night Before on this.
But which one's more fun to watch?
If we're speaking purely Christmas movies, then I gotta go with Night Before.
Okay. Sure. I would rather watch Iron Man 3 any day. And I personally get the Christmas vibe still from that equally.
I don't see, whenever I watch it, my body and brain doesn't think I'm watching a Christmas movie.
I always do. That's interesting. But I guess I'll get The Night Before, because it is more explicitly Christmas. And if you want to say which one's a better Christmas movie, but not a better movie that happens to be a Christmas movie, Night Before will win that. But also, our rules change constantly in this arbitrary game. So, correct. Night Before moves forward. Cool. Next up was Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas, or was it the OG Grinch that won? Yeah, or OG Grinch.
Ooh. This is
I guess OG Grinch to me, because of iconicness more than Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. It is a direct reading of the book.
So yeah,
that's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, and the animation style holds up really well. And Burles, and whatever the guy's name is that narrates, the voice is great, and she's fantastic. Boris Karloff, that's the name.
Yeah, Josh, I agree. that was between, so we say OG Grinch goes past Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas.
Yes.
For being a book translation anyway, it's good. Next is A Christmas Story, or the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Ooh, I got
be biased here.
Grinch.
I think we just both have to this point.
It's solely Carrie's performance.
I think 2 years ago, you and me and my girlfriend and our friends watched it all together. Very fun. Very fun. I love this movie, and it is nonsense. Most Christmas films are nonsense. But fun nonsense.
Fun nonsense.
Yeah. That one wasn't hard. A Christmas Story is still great. You'll shoot your eye out. It's a good movie. But this is a matter of, at this point, just preference, and that's okay. And we might do this every year and make the bracket jollier and bigger. Not bigger, bigger. We'll see what happens.
Good.
How planned was this? Vaguely. Next up is A Charlie Brown Christmas or Home Alone. This one's tricky because it also comes to the cultural thing. Home Alone did make the most money out of any Christmas movie ever in the box office, or in total money now at this point. So
as I get older and I learn more about film and like find better appreciation in other films of their filming, I gotta go with Home Alone.
Are you willing to change your mind because of the cultural impact of the Charlie Brown one?
It's tough.
While both are good, I think most adults know the other one even more. Or when they think of Christmas, they go to the Charlie Brown one first. Because I know a lot of people don't even think of Home Alone as a Christmas movie, genuinely. Like, it's less of a debate than a lot of movies, like Die Hard, for instance. But it's still, like, because it's not about, the whole time, about Christmas. It's about, like...
But you also don't ever see anyone watching Home Alone outside of Christmas time.
Yes, I do. What do you mean?
You do?
Yeah.
Who?
I know people watch it all year. Like, that's a year-round movie for a lot of people. Like, it doesn't matter what time of year.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I'm not like, I don't care enough, but I'm trying to think of which one actually should pass past this. I think it was one... should maybe go to the Charlie Brown. That's why.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm debating.
We need a third person here. Because a debate with two people does not work very well. Especially when one person keeps saying, I don't really care anyway.
fine, I'll go for
the, how much that hurt you to say?
A lot. And also, it is a weird thing for people to say that Home Alone's not a Christmas movie when every film takes place at Christmas besides the third one.
Like, it's definitely, it is a Christmas movie, but it's a matter of, like, it's still more soft than hard. That's all it is. And that part isn't really a that's just how the system works. If you can tweak the story to be a different holiday, to be a different idea of that. But I will say that it's great, and I want to watch it soon. Have you watched it yet this year?
I've been in the process of watching it. It's just I've been working so much. I've been rewatching The Matrix. It's been a lot.
Yeah.
Also, Matrix Resurrections. Go see that.
I saw you liked it.
It's good.
It's a Wonderful Life, Josh.
Or
yeah, Shazam.
It's Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Shazam is great and I love it, but yeah, you can't fight against that. It's a Wonderful Life.
It's hard to fight this one. This might come on top by like by accident. The chain it has is just a straighter line.
It's more to see who can put the best fight against it.
And so far it was up to Frosty or Shazam or Home Alone too. So all those so far be my It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. Okay. Next up is Prep and Landing or Good Luck Charlie Christmas. I think Prep and Landing.
Cool. Like I still watch Good Luck Charlie Christmas every year because my family loves that movie.
Oh, that's fun.
Usually, but yeah, it's gotta be
Prep and Landing. I've seen it once.
It's fun. And it actually ties into the rest of the show as a whole, which I found very interesting.
This one's going to be hard for both of us, I think. Elf or Klaus? Which everyone passes forward now. This is a meaningful one. I think Elf is a better film. I meant to say Klaus. I think Klaus is a better film.
Oh, this is so tough.
Elf, I think, is more fun to watch. But Klaus, I think, captures Christmas a bit more with the whole idea, but the spirit of it. It's about the creation of the character. It's about this coming together, this camaraderie of a lot of people. They both have that element. But Elf is definitely more aimed at kids, where Klaus is a more of a anyone just go and experience this feeling.
Also, the animation
in Klaus. Are you okay with conceding Klaus? I'll give you back the hold on. If you do this, I'll give you back the Home Alone instead of Christmas Story.
It's not about conceding. That's not what it is. Because I love both of these films, and I think it's hard for me because I've watched Elf since I was a small child, and Klaus is fairly recent. But it's so good. I think I gotta go with Klaus because I watched it last year, and then the year before was when it came out. The more I see
it, is becoming more tradition for me.
Yeah, it's very good. And the fact that it got nominated for a Best Animated Oscar, because that very rarely happens for any kind of Christmas movie or any movie that isn't Disney, Pixar, or DreamWorks.
It's hard seeing a newer movie become a tradition so fast, too, for a lot of people. And this definitely did that. Culturally, this swept everyone so fast. So, Klaus, you beat Elf. I'm sorry, bud. I'm sorry, Elf. Stop putting up, buddy. I get it. I get it. Go find your dad. Get away from here. Anyway, next up is I think it's Mickey's Christmas Carol or Christmas Vacation.
I gotta go Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
It's hard for anything that's a Christmas Carol kind of thing because there's so many different versions of it.
Right. And Mickey's Christmas Carol is really fun, but.
There's only one Christmas Vacation.
The way that phrase, it's not a movie, just there's only one vacation you can do on Christmas. That's it.
I mean,
it's Bahamas or no deal. Anyway,
exactly.
Next up, we're on the third round, Josh. We're getting tighter now.
Cool.
It is The Night Before OG Grinch.
Night Before is a recent thing, but.
I don't think it stands up enough against the original Grinch movie.
Yeah, I think
it's I still think Grinch. The other Grinch is better, but I think right now it beats The Night Before.
Yeah, I still love watching Night Before, but yeah, I gotta go with Grinch.
Okay, so Charlie Brown Christmas or Jim Carrey Grinch?
Oh,
I think Jim Carrey Grinch still wins this one.
This is tough because you got one that we love watching, but again, the cultural significance of Charlie Brown. So that's.
Has one either of them made it too far now? That's the question. Have either of them surpassed
who needs to be knocked out of peg?
Should we be biased or should we go with culture?
I don't know. We're very inconsistent with it.
Well, it's a matter of how much is the culture. I think
over the years I've been watching Jim Carrey's Grinch more than I have been Charlie Brown.
I agree. I also think that the Jim Carrey one has the cultural element to it.
Yeah.
So I think I can pass again.
Yeah. Sorry, Charlie Brown.
You're gone now. Yep. That's fascinating. Next up is It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Or?
Or, oh, God. Good Luck, Charlie Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Which one to pick?
Could be a jerk saying the wrong one. No, it's a Wonderful Life. I think I have to go back for it again.
Yeah.
Now it's Klaus or Christmas Vacation. It's Klaus.
As much as I love watching Christmas Vacation every year, yeah, it's I gotta Klaus. Go with Klaus.
This is now. A very interesting ranking for our last movies. You know what we have here? We have the original Grinch versus the Jim Carrey Grinch right now for this first bracket. We're not in the last four.
Glad that lined up.
So our final four is his OG Grinch versus Jim Carrey Grinch, and then It's a Wonderful Life versus Klaus. Oh my god.
Oh, those last two. Okay, so let's get the Grinches out of the way.
That one's easy.
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. Yeah. Anyway.
This is a tough one. Because you've got the ultimate Christmas movie, but you also have a new one that's so well made also.
Okay, I will say these last three are all equally pretty much amazing. So go watch all of them, guys. We could end it here today, but no, that's not how it works.
Nah, there must be a winner decided.
Would you want to end at the top two instead?
Maybe. Let's see where this debate goes.
So It's a Wonderful Life. Well, we're both on the same side if we like both of these.
Yeah. All these three, we love them all.
I think solely by it. I don't know if It's a Wonderful Life can lose this. I'm trying to think.
I don't think it can. Its legacy and its impact is too great, and it's still so well made.
But is it fair to just get that movie and I'm not quitting against everything all the whole back of it? Is that fair?
It's not just a good Christmas movie. It's a great movie.
But so is Klaus too. Okay. Honestly, viewers, write in, please. Email us right now at nerdtalkproductionsyt and tell us your answer for each question. Until you find your winner for this.
I'm very curious what other people's opinions are on all these.
nerdtalkproductionsyt@gmail.com or tweet at us at #GeekSpeakPod. Follow along with us and do this bracket. I'd love to hear your final winners. I think It's a Wonderful Life has to win.
I think so too. It's such a tough thing.
But does it beat Jim Carrey Grinch still?
You know, I think Jim Carrey beats It's a Wonderful Life.
Do we do it? Am I the drama?
We can do it just to piss people off.
You know what? Yeah, let's do it, Josh. Just like our arbitrary yays or nays, this will be arbitrary because Jim Carrey's sicko line. That's why. Only that. That's why.
Sicko.
That wins. You cool with that?
If Jimmy Stewart said that in that way in It's a Wonderful Life, then he would win.
I'm George Bailey.
I'm George Bailey. This is how we talk in the 40s.
I'm drunk George Bailey now. Oh no. Oh, Mary. My kids. I hate them so much. Please stop. Get them out of here. I was on the ice and my ear.
So only just for Jim Carrey's sicko line.
Yeah.
And just to piss people off, where you are giving it to Jim Carrey's Grinch as the ultimate Christmas movie.
And this could change next year when we both watch more movies.
That is true.
Who knows? Yeah, that's the bracket, Josh.
Crazy.
Wow, that was fun. Was that a big jolly bracket for you?
That was, in fact, a big jolly bracket.
Wait, we still haven't done the honorable mentions.
Oh, you're right. Movies. I have seen Miracle on 34th Street. It's quite good. The original, I don't agree make that much. I've seen both. Josh, what's one you've seen that you like? Besides Die Hard, I guess. Or I guess Die Hard.
Didn't you say you had my movies listed out?
Earlier.
Let me look at my shelf of movies here. Office Christmas Party with Jason Bateman, Jennifer Aniston. That one's fun.
Never seen it.
Last Christmas with Emilia Clarke. That one's fun.
I've seen The Night Before Christmas with a K, like K-Night.
That movie with Vanessa Hudgens?
Uh-huh. It's fine. Don't see it.
Look, I'm not a fan of Hallmarky Christmas type movies. If you are, that's fine. You do you. I have seen one
good Hallmark Christmas movie. One. And that's A Dog Named Christmas.
Here's an interesting question.
Wait, hold on, Josh. Do you remember in Max Cable's Big Move, The Bully?
Yes.
Noel Fisher. He is in A Dog Named Christmas as the lead. And he is phenomenal. He plays someone who's very clearly on the spectrum and has a lot of struggles. And he gets it all. And it's all about literally a dog named the dog Christmas. And it's very sweet. So that is actually a good Hallmark Christmas movie you guys can watch.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question, would you consider Little Women a kind of Christmas movie?
Because it's over a long period of time, I don't know. I also didn't count Harry Potter's on here.
That's true. Harry Potter does
I didn't count them because it takes place over many months. Like if it takes place over seasons, then I didn't count it.
I'm trying.
Spider-Verse is an accidental Christmas movie, which I did not include in here.
That's true.
That's fine. A Christmas Chronicles.
I've only seen the first one. That one's actually really fun. If you want to see Kurt Russell as Santa with this amazing beard, go watch it.
I didn't realize you had seen it, so it would have been on the list. So interesting. It is good.
Love Actually. That's a good one. It's the first of those, like, you know, big holiday themed cast movies, but because it's the first one, it was actually good.
What if the next kissing booth is at Christmas, Josh?
How about we stop?
But anyway, happy holidays, everyone.
It's been a lot recently.
But I will say our first episode next year will, of course, have Smart House, because naturally, of course, it has to.
Of course. But
it will also be, the first half of the next episode will be about a recap of this year, a review of 2021. And then the second half of the episode will be about what are we most looking forward to in that year. So our most anticipated films and comic books and games and stuff like that. Anyway, I think we'll have a wonderful year, or at least half a year probably is more accurate, for podcasting together. And if you are at all inclined, please email us over this few weeks. We will definitely read all the emails. We will see any tweets you all send us. We've not gotten it yet. And I know we have listeners. We've seen the analytics, so we know people are listening to this podcast. But email in. It'd be fun. And we'll talk about your comments, questions, concerns. If you just want to call Josh dickhead or me a dickhead, that can be happen. It's fine.
I thought you were just going to leave it at just calling me one and not you.
I mean, that's fine too. It's part of the podcast questions we send in. Anyway, where can people find you, Josh?
Instagram, J_Rudy16. Twitter, J_Rudy28. YouTube, at Josh Rudolph. And Letterboxd, at Nerd4Film28.
And you can find me in my house. Please don't actually do it. You can find me on Twitter at The Theater Nerd, on TikTok at That Nerd in Theater. Or I also run the Nerd Talk Productions pages. So the YouTube, the Twitter, which is at nerdtalk_prod, which again, tweet at us at using hashtag GeekSpeakPod. Tell us your bracket results. If you want, I also will post the bracket we had on Twitter, so you all can go through it as well and find out your results. And lastly, you can find me on the email, nerdtalkproductions@yt@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening to us this past 5 months, like that. It's been wonderful, and we loved having you.
It's been fun.
Happy holidays. Stay safe. Stay warm. Enjoy some cocoa. Enjoy some company of friends and family. If you can safely, get your boosters and get your vaccines. Be safe.
Yes.
Also, watch movies. Play games. More. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.